So I'm all in.
Purchase. Right, I just don't know where it needs to be.
Okay, committee, I'm going to call us back in from recess. The time is 12:41. So I believe we left off. Hold on, let me get my bearings again. I believe that we left off. We have a few things that we need to go back to. We need to talk about the litigation support section. We need to talk about the noxious weed section and possible amendments. At the moment, though, we are on Section 31C, which is water rights. So I will let Congresswoman Rivard begin that conversation if she would like to, and then we can go back to other sections.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Clinton Patterson, are you on the line, AG?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. There he is. As he lives and breathes.
Yes.
Okay, well, we have what's happened. I'll get you caught up, AG. We've I have a bill that I sponsored that's for FY24 of non-tribal monies that need to be authorized to either spend or do a budget mod. So we're at Section D, which is the litigation support in the amount of $24,376. And in our support docs, it mentions the litigation or litigation support for the picture cave.
Okay. Do you want to ask me questions or do you want me to just comment?
I think you ought to start from the beginning because we've never, we don't remember hearing this. So typically we don't do a budget mod unless we've done the original appropriation. I don't remember that this ever came down as even the original appropriation to authorize the spending. And so is this a, this is brand new is what we understand. So it's not a budget mod, is this brand new money that you ask self-governance or did you apply for it? You wanna start from the beginning with all of those great questions.
Yes, I'll try to start. Okay, every year, the BIA puts out a notice of availability of funding for water rights litigation and litigation support services related thereto. So I was able to get on and hear for a while. There, to be clear, there's no pending litigation for the picture cave or for water rights. We respond to the BIA's notice and put in an application for those funds. We've been able to get funding for the water rights litigation and for some other water-related research for the I'm going to say 6 of the last 7 years. It's not a great amount compared to our overall budget, but it does help us. So, and anytime we can get federal funds and use those instead of tribal funds, we appreciate it. And that's what we've done here. We put in an application for water rights litigation support, and they've gave us, I think, 75 or 69,000. I can't remember the exact amount, but and so that will go to develop to pay attorneys and related professionals to develop a comprehensive water plan, which we are currently working on, and we've updated Congress a few times in the past, and we're happy to do that again in another committee. It is confidential information, but that's what that one's for, and that's for the picture cave. I believe Congressman Keene was correct. They put it out for bid, and we did not get it. And that cave, as everybody knows, has significant historical and cultural ties to the Osage Nation. So when that was let out to somebody else, we immediately went to action to determine how we could maintain those ties or develop a new relationship. So we figured that would take some sort of litigation. So we applied to the BIA for funding. We were initially denied. And then they came back and said we were approved for 24,000, which again is not much, but I don't not much you can do litigation wise with 24,000, but we're happy to have it, so we put it in there. And all in, what I thought this was going into my FY25 budget. I don't know how I can spend it that quick, but I could probably try to find a way. If there's any additional questions off of that, I'm happy to answer them.
We'll do Mr. Frazier and then Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to address Mr. Patterson's point, this is a non-tribal budget, so it does not have a fiscal year limitation. So even though it's titled a fiscal year 24 budget, it will not expire on September 30th.
Thank you, Mr. Frazier. Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. So, these funds then will help with some possible litigation. And what do we do if we choose? What does the, how does the BIA look at these funds if we choose not to litigate? Do we have to return them later, or do we resubmit an application and ask that those funds be directed towards another effort?
Is that question to me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Candy or Amy may be able to answer this better than I can, but as I understand it, once the funds are awarded out from the BIA, as long as they're used for a legal purpose, they're not too concerned. But of course, they would like it for it to be used on the application. We intend it to be used that way.
Good. This is Candy, and those funds can roll over because they come down through self-governance. So they don't lose the funds and they don't have to return the funds. They just roll over until the next fiscal year. And as A.G. Patterson said, as long as they're addressing some legal concern, they can be used that way.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you, Candy, and thank you, Clint. So right now, what I'm hearing is that we doesn't look like that we would go into litigation. So is there a litigation plan with these BIA funds? And do we currently have BIA funds that we have that we haven't spent towards litigation and other efforts? Or is it all just water related right now?
Right now, it's been all water related.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought I
We've
heard you
spent,
say. But this is
yeah, we've
annual,
spent those funds.
or is this something,
So,
Candy, that comes down? You said is annually from the BIA. You or Clint can answer that. It's annually that comes down, and then we apply, and do we have to have like a litigation plan that we submit, or what do you submit with your application?
Well, the application goes through grants. It doesn't go through our office. And we usually have gotten a one-time funding appropriation. Of all appropriations are based on the U.S. Congress appropriation. And so as far as the plan that's requested, that's an application. That's like a grant application. So we don't make that application. The AG's office does.
Okay, so Clint, you got your office then would apply every, have you applied every year? And how many years have you applied and received funding?
I would have to go back for a definitive answer, but I know off the top of my head, probably, I know we were denied altogether last year, I want to say last fiscal year, but the preceding year is probably five or six that I can recall.
Okay, let's move on to, okay, so hold on, let me go back to my list of the things that we need to talk about. So I'm gonna go ahead and mark off that we've talked about the water rights section. And the litigation support section. And we did real estate services. So we are on, well, committee, would you like to go back to the noxious weed section and discuss that, or would you like to finish moving through the bill first? Okay. Let's keep going through then. So section 31D is water management.
Okay, so water management is section 31D. Okay, so this is operated, I believe, through DNR, and this is for, it looks as though it's self-governance funds that need to be appropriated for the 24 water management planning and pre-development program. And so it looks like this is DNR has been notified that the BIA, that they'll receive $90,000 for the water management planning and pre-development program. And this project will be, the project will update and refine the nation's existing draft comprehensive water rights quantification claim. And the program will also receive $19,692 in contract support to cover the IDC on this program. So, again, this is self-governance dollars. I think it's, do you guys want to hear from the secretary, Jan? Dr. Heyman, are you on the call?
This is Craig Walker. Dr. Heyman's out in the field today handling other issues, but I can speak to any questions on this funding source.
Go ahead.
I mean, my question is, hold on, Craig, let me ask a second. Is the committee okay with Craig speaking to this, or do you guys want to hear from the cabinet? It's a budget mod and GovDoc self-governance. Are you guys okay with Craig speaking to it? Okay. All right, Mr. Walker, you want to talk about this?
Absolutely. So we apply for this similar to some of the litigation stuff with the AG's office. BIA offers this out every year. It's a type of grant. And we've received it most years that we've applied for it. There's, as Clint said, last year, I don't think anyone received any on either one of these grants, but we received some this year. And it goes into our water planning and the quantification of water within Osage County and the Osage Nation Reservation. It's pretty much all contractual. We've got an engineering firm that helps with that. And we've been coordinating, working with them on a variety of different programs and projects over the years. This is just one of those pieces. With new technology and alternative uses for water, this is one more aspect that we're looking at, how to quantify various uses and the potential uses of water within the county.
Thank you, Craig. I have a question real quick. Treasurer Batson, in this non-tribal bill, it looks as though we're charging IDC on these professional fees, and we bring this up every session. Is that something then that's been agreed upon in our current IDC agreement that we'll charge IDC on professional fees? Because it's quite substantial when you look at a small amount of these grants. It's $109,000, and then $90,000 we can put towards professionals, but the IDC is close to $20,000. So I'm just kind of curious as we move forward, is that something we're going to see this session too, where we charge IDC, which is up to us whether we do or not, on our professional fees? Of course, I'm not an advocate of that, but...
I know we didn't on the tribal budgets. I think that that one was done differently because a self-governance program and it gets contract support costs from the government. But we don't charge indirect cost. And our 24 hasn't been submitted, our 23 has, but the equipment, professional fees, contracted services, all that are excluded just like they always have been.
So I thought, if I may, I thought contract support can only be charged on admin costs.
Rebecca had an answer on this that I didn't, but I'll let her explain it. I wasn't here at the time. She can do it better than me.
Good afternoon again. I actually asked Amy Easley on this one when I got it brought down about us getting contract support costs on this, and I think Amy Easley might have a good answer as to why we charge on there. I believe it has something to do with the funding, but I'm not entirely sure. But as a whole, we do not charge any IDC on professional fees, contract support costs, or anything like that, as well on most of our federal funds as well, unless the agency allows it. But for the most part, we do not charge anything on them.
Ms. Easley, you've unmuted. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I was told that we could charge IDC two professional fees on these because we get the contract support costs to cover it. So if we don't charge IDC to this program, then we lose that $19,000 in the IDC pool.
So this is one of them, you guys, though, that wouldn't we want to take the $20,000 if we could and put it towards the efforts of our water rather than...
We wouldn't be able to do that.
We're not
able the award to do is $90,000. So that's how much is put towards the water. The contract support cost is in addition. But if we don't have IDC, then we don't get the contract support cost.
Okay, so just think of it, though, that the goal isn't to get the contract support. The goal is to fund the effort of water. Wouldn't we want to not charge IDC and put all of that into the professional fees, or would we need to? Or I just don't want it to be that under this administration, what one thing I've noticed is that we like to really, you know, have high IDC pools and I get the contract support piece of it, but we don't typically do that till the end of the year. Let's do this, Amy. Why don't you back up and explain to the committee what contract support is and what that does, because it is different than IDC.
Contract support cost in the BIA self-governance programs is calculated. It's 18% of wages, not including fringe, plus indirect costs. So if there is no indirect cost, then there is no contract support cost.
So
the $90,000, the award is going to the water management.
So in this instance, then you're wanting to put IDC because you can recoup that full 19 in contract support. Is that, that's what you're saying, correct?
Correct.
And you can get the full amount back?
Correct.
Okay. And then would that contract support then be used directly for water, or it can be reallocated just for self-governance?
That contract support cost on that one would cover the IDC on that program.
I understand that, but when you get the contract support, it was, I think it's at the end of the year, when you get that money back, recoup back from that IDC that was charged, will those dollars be set aside for water, or do you reallocate that money for other self-governance programs?
When we receive the contract support costs, it'll go to cover the IDC on that program. We wouldn't be able to reallocate that.
Okay, so you have to put it back towards the IDC?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess that's just an entry within Treasury. A journal entry.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you for that explanation. I understand that. But as far as our job goes, sitting here in these seats, how is it that we can know when we do see IDC for items charged that are non-administrative items? Every time we see that, can we expect that that's contract support cost and not money taken off the top of those non-administrative dollars?
It depends on the program, but most of the BIA self-governance programs are eligible to receive contract support costs. There are a few that are not, such as Wildland Fire and some of the programs within the 477 program.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Revard.
Ms. Amy, can you talk about maybe how much have we received in contract support for 23?
I want to say that number is around a million, but it'll take me a second to get you an exact number.
Okay. And out of that, can you estimate how much went back towards IDC?
I'd say about 80% of it, but let me pull that up real quick.
So if I may, and Congresswoman Revard, you can probably educate me on this. And so maybe even for those listening, and so I'm trying to break it out in my mind. This is because these are non-tribal dollars that we're talking about in this bill, and they were awarded $90,000, but we're also budgeting $19,692. But we're budgeting non-tribal dollars that haven't been given yet. So there isn't a need then, I'm guessing, to actually make that the tribal portion, because we're kind of front, it feels like, and so maybe we're not really, we're kind of fronting ourselves money that will be reimbursed with federal dollars later. Is that how I'm understanding it? Okay, so, but we don't, there's no need to consider it as a tribal portion and a non-tribal portion. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
So when the, Amy, you might have to, I'm serious, you're going to have to be a little bit literal in this. So what, how do you guys receive in your contract support monies when you receive them? How do they come?
It comes through an ATO. For FY24, we have not received our contract support costs yet.
Okay.
So we budgeted ahead of time.
Okay, so like in the ATO, you're going to have to say, you know, what that you want to,
authority to obligate.
I guess it's the authority to obligate those dollars. But when the, and I get where Congresswoman Redcorn's coming from. So when you receive the contract support, it comes in through an ATO, just like the support doc show. And then from there, is that money wired then to our treasury?
The funding comes in like all the other funding, and then I send a distribution request to Treasury to tell them where to put that contract support cost.
Okay. And so does all the contract support then thereafter come here to Congress, and then we authorize the spending of that contract support?
If there's any additional, yes. We try to work that in up front so that we're not constantly bringing things back down. But like this award, for example, we haven't received the contract support cost yet, but we know we should receive it any day. It honestly should have already came in by now. So once we get it, it'll already be appropriated, and we can put that to IDC.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Amy.
And I have an answer on the FY23 funds, if you...
Sure, go ahead.
We got $207,000 in direct contract support costs, which that's the 18% of the wages that are in the eligible self-governance programs, and then a little over $1 million in indirect contract support cost. So 1.2 million.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, are there any more questions on the water management section? Okay, the next one is section 33, wildland fire.
Okay, thank you. Again, this is another self-governance, and I don't know that Ross is on the call. Are you there, Ross?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Are you in the office? Do you have everything pulled up in front of you, or are you on the road?
I'm out in the field, but it's pretty simple. All it is just additional funding. We usually receive $156,905. But we got an additional $6,966. So we just moved that into our supplies.
Okay.
So it's more or less, it's a budget mod.
For about $7,000.
Because we received additional funding, so it has to be appropriated by law.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Walker. Are there any questions on this section? Okay, that is the end of the list, but we need to go back, if we want to, continue the conversation about Section 23A, the noxious weed section. Are there any amendments to this section at this time?
Chair, I think one of the questions that have come about was the definition. A course of direct assistance and direct services. I think we've done this for years now, but I wanted to just kind of read what it does say in the law real quick. Is that direct assistance means funds that pass from the Osage Nation directly to the recipient in the form of monetary assistance, scholarships, grants, health benefits, disaster assistance, and other direct financial assistance. And so that's currently what the law reads. I don't know that that's kind of the mindset of where we are now in 2024. If I were the executive branch, I would love to see this money in direct assistance, but I think that's where it should fall. I'm not going to make an amendment, but I would definitely support one if somebody wants to make one. This money for the noxious weed does not go to the landowner directly, so it wouldn't say to, you know, Congressman Otto Hamilton, it would be to the vendor. So I just want to make that clear so I could see why somebody would or would not. I would like to see it in direct assistance, but that's why probably maybe it isn't. I don't know.
I have a question, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn has raised her hand. So I don't want to split hairs just for the sake of splitting hairs. But my question, though, I know a number of you on the call who are related to this made the comment that you would also like to see it as a direct service, and I can respect that. My question really is, does it change what you're going to do with it and how you're going to use it to service the people, depending on how it's placed on your line items? Or do you intend to do the same thing with it regardless of which line it's on? Or would you rather see it in the direct assistance line so that your manner of delivery to the people can be different? That's my, so I just want to know if it even really affects how you're going to handle your processes, if it's moved, if it's not, or either way. I can't remember who all commented on that, but if somebody would like to speak to that, that would be helpful in discussion.
This is Natasha. Okay, so this, the noxious weed, it is a fund that, you know, no matter if you're a landowner or a lessee, you can apply for this service. And we just purchase the chemical, and then whoever uses or is approved in that application process on the federal side, they pay for the application of the chemicals. So this just is for chemicals, for us purchasing chemicals. I don't know if that helps any.
It does. Thank you, Ms. Yancey. Congresswoman Whitehorn had her hand up, and then we'll go to Congresswoman Rivard. Then Congresswoman Goodfox.
So, Ms. Yancey, your office is responsible for administrating the list of landowners or lessees that want to spray the land, and that you take that, you take their names in an order, and when their name comes up, then they're not issued the spray, but their contractor of choice is issued the spray. Is that correct, how that operates?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so directly it's benefiting our restricted landowners' properties by being promoted through your office for them to get spray. And yeah, I view it as a direct service to the land. I can see direct assistance, direct service, you know, six one way, half a dozen the other. I think it would be great to show that our people were directly benefiting off of that instead of an operation or an inside expense. But at this point in time, maybe going forward, we'll look at changing some, or I will look at changing some wording and definition so it can be shown as that, because I think it is I think it's beneficial to our people. And I know that the people that use that and utilize it appreciate it. So thank you. That's all I have right now.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. So Natasha, then I guess the question would be at you. You received $59,766. Would you rather just provide $49,037 to our people, or do you want to do $59,000? Because it's really about the IDC. So if we move it, then the IDC goes away. So right, I'm asking you, and we'll do an amendment where it's kind of really at you, Natasha. What would you like? You're either going to provide $59,000 in noxious weed direct assistance, or do you want to do $49,037?
I would much rather do $59,000.
Thank you for that. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Well, I was just wondering, so how did you all make that decision to purchase the spray, to purchase the spray and still use vendors? I guess I'm wondering, like, do we get, don't vendors, I know vendors for spray like this have to be, I guess, licensed, because you have to be licensed for even like bug spray that's used in large quantities. But aren't the vendors we're using licensed, and do they not have their own? From my understanding, this right? Am I understanding this right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like that blue area, like you have to be certified, like you said, but it's about storing it. A lot.
So we're going to store it?
No, like for example, we store it out at Blue Stem Aerial, or we used to,
uh-huh,
because you have to be a certified place to store it because it's a chemical as such, right? And then, but you're right. So these guys out there, they fly their planes and spray big areas, you know, but landowners, they may say, you know what, I want to use, my lessee will do it for me, or so-and-so, they'll come and pick up the spray and they'll do it for me. And so not everybody uses Blue Stem Aerial. Okay. And so some will just go pick it up and then they spray their own properties. Is that right, Natasha? I don't mean to speak out of turn, but that's just what I understand how that process works.
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I actually have a question too for Amy Easley, just so we can backtrack a little bit. Previously, we just talked about it would only be the $90,000. We wouldn't put the contract support cost into it. Does that apply here too, Amy? So if we did change it to direct services, it would only be the $49,000?
Yes, that is correct.
So we wouldn't be, all we're doing here is recouping the contract. No, it wouldn't be. It would only be the $49,000. Yes, it's just contract support. So I don't know if that helps in your decision, but yes, I just wanted to make that clear.
That's exactly where we were trying to get to. Is that okay. Another IDC that we charge because we're trying to get that contract support? Is this another,
yeah,
just like the wild?
Yeah.
The water, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. Well,
Congresswoman
White. The other side, if we want to increase the noxious weed, then that would be on our tribal appropriation then and for 25.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So at this time, I was going to make the amendment because of the contract support we thought was IDC. Right now, I'm not going to make the amendment. We're just going to look into changing that definition, maybe a direct assistance and direct services. I don't know if direct services are still a defined budgetary term, but we'll look into it. Right now, I'm just going to leave it here with no amendment, and I think we've got a really good explanation about how that works for our people. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I think do you guys remember this discussion too? At one time, weren't they trying to send budgets down that would show contract support? So we didn't confuse it with IDC, because you're taking that money and is that money that we're thinking we're going to get is included in our IDC pool, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything else on this section? So what we've decided is that we are going to just leave it, at least for the short term. Which means we have covered every section in this bill. Is there any movement on this bill? Anybody? I want to remind the committee that we've completed all the sections of this bill. So do we want to leave it here in committee or move it? Congressman Hamilton?
Chair, I'd like to make a motion to pass out bill number ONCA 2482 to the floor of Congress with a do pass recommendation.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All of those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, ONCA 24-82 will be sent to Congress with a do pass recommendation. So that puts us on ONCA 24-83. Congresswoman Revern.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this bill amends 2294 to provide a supplemental appropriation to the executive branch, and one of the sections is, the first one is the JOM, our Johnson O'Malley. And of course, we all know this is operated through the education department. And this amount, again, is self-governance, and the amount is $7,500. And JOM's receiving a one-time base fund distribution of $7,500. And I think is Mary on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
You'll have to speak up a little bit.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. So this was in the amount of $7,500. It was came from the BIE, and basically it's a one-time base fund distribution. And there were kind of some specific guidelines that came with it. They wanted it to be used for capacity building for the parent committee members or staff, basically to attend national conferences or workshops, things like that. So if you notice, that's pretty much where we put the funds in the budget modification. We put them into like our travel line items, and we do plan to take 5 parent committee members to the national JOM conference. That's pretty much sums it up. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask.
Thank you, Ms. Wildcat. Does anybody have any questions for her on this section? Okay, thank you. Okay, so the next section we're gonna do is section 19, and that's law enforcement.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So this, again, is self-governance and budget mod for law enforcement. The amount is $45,803, and it looks like they're taking this amount of funds and putting it into their vehicle repairs and maintenance and reducing a little bit of their IDC. Is Nick on the call?
Here he is.
Oh, it's Cherokee Rose. Okay. Wow, that voice came out of nowhere. Hi, Cherokee. It's Jody.
Hey, Jody.
We're doing a budget mod here with self-governance dollars, and I just see that you put the money in your vehicle repair and maintenance and reduced IDC.
Correct. You guys have any questions?
Anybody have any questions for Cherokee? Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, so that's every section that we needed to look at for ONC 24-83. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Move to pass out ONCA 2483 to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
Second. There's a motion and a second. All of those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. ONCA 24-83 will go to Congress with a due pass recommendation. The next item on the agenda is adjournment.
Second.
Motion to adjourn in a second. All of those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. We are adjourned.
Yes. Thanks to everybody on the call.